We're just going to trust God to give us something here that encourages us or strengthens us or whatever. I'm reading in Job 7, starting with verse 1. Is there not appointed time to the man upon the earth, and are not his days also like the days of an hireling? As a servant earnestly desireth the shadow, and as a hireling looketh for the reward of his work, so am I made to possess months of vanity, and wearisome nights are appointed to me. When I lie down, I say, when shall I arise? And the night be gone, and I'm full of tossing to and fro unto the dawning of the day. My flesh is clothed with worms and clods of dust. My skin is broken and become loathsome. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, we thank you, Lord God, for the reading of your words this night. And my God, I pray, Lord, that you bring a moving of the Holy Spirit, God, upon each and every one of us, Lord. My God, that you might, Lord, open our ears, anoint our ears to hear. God, that we might apply the word into our heart here, God. Let our hearts be attentive, O God, unto your word. My God, let even the youngest one here, God, Lord, the little ones, the young people, my God, sit up and reverence you while you're speaking, God. Lord, in the house of God, there ought to be some reverence. My God, this night, God, we ask you that you just sweep over. And my God, you'll captivate the hearts and minds of all of us here tonight. And my God, I pray, Lord, that you would just put the thoughts in my mind and the words in my mouth that I should speak here tonight. Holy Spirit, I'm dependent upon you to minister through this lump of clay. My God, that you might minister to every one of us in Jesus' name for the glory of God. Amen. You may be seated. We had spoken about, you know, Job's suffering here, sickness, where God permitted Satan to touch Job's body. It wasn't because Job had sinned, but it was because God had given permission to Satan to touch him. But he wasn't able to take his life. And we read where he was smitten with boils from the from his feet to the crown right of his head. He was really plastered with boils. Here we see Job now. We just read a little portion of some of the things that he had gone through this period of suffering. You know, sometimes we get sick and we don't have to suffer too long. But here we see that Job went through great sufferings. And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ went through great sufferings to purchase our salvation. And it wasn't a light thing for him. If you remember when he went into the Garden of Gethsemane, he sweat as if it were drops of blood in praying there and committing himself to God that the will of God might be done. That was a hard thing. Amen. Just to commit himself unto the will of God. He said, Father, not my will be done, but thine. But he saw it, you know, but yet it was the will of God. It was in God's plan and purpose that Jesus Christ would suffer for us. Do you realize the sufferings that he went through as they pierced that crown of thorns on his head and the blood streamed down over his face and they beat him? It said that his vision was so marred, you know, it just did damage to his face. They spit on him. They mocked him. Oh, they did such horrible things to him. Then they pierced him in the side. They hung him on the cross, right? And, oh, they say that's the worst form of death Imagine being nailed on a cross. It was an old tree, you know, and up and down and across, and his arms was outstretched and his weight hung on him. I'll tell you, they drove spikes through his hands and through his feet. You talk about suffering. You talk about pain. We don't know what suffering and pain is all about. Even though we've suffered some, even though that we've had pain, none of us has ever suffered like our Lord Jesus Christ. He really suffered for us. And I think we owe it to Him that we should love Him and serve Him. And the scripture says that He laid His life down for His friends. And He called us His friends. So He laid His life down so that you and I could have life, and that more abundantly. And why not hang on, to hold on to the abundant life that Jesus Christ has purchased for you? Why do you let the devil rob you of that abundant life? I believe abundant life in Jesus Christ is a life that is filled with joy and peace and happiness. Amen. You're really living. You rest in God. You really rest. Isn't that something? He said, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden. Right? And he said his yoke was easy and his burden was light, but he said he would give us rest to our soul. Oh, why don't we have that rest in our soul tonight? Because we have allowed the devil to trouble us and put other things within us so that we don't have that perfect rest in Jesus Christ. We ought to be happy and joyous and blessed, amen, of the Lord. We should be jumping with joy, amen, knowing that what God has really done for us, He has really brought us a long ways. But Jesus died that He might give us abundant life, in life abundantly. And we need to be living, and we need to be living this life for Christ. Amen. But here we see Job. Oh, he had months of vanity and wearisome nights. And can you imagine going to bed night after night and not being able to sleep? I think that would be awful. And racked with pain, oh, that would be so offering, that awful. But I want to bring out here, before I go any further, where in Romans 8:18, talking about to us that, you know, when we are going through sufferings in this present life, and we go through sufferings in this present life, that he said, for I reckon that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So we can't even compare these sufferings with the glory that's going to be revealed in us. And, you know, Paul also said that our light affliction is just for a moment, but it worketh for us far exceeding glory, is it? And so, anyway, we see that, you know, if we just think about the glory that is going to be revealed in us, and I believe this glory is going to be great, and it'll be revealed in us. But we can't compare sufferings with that beautiful glory that is going to be revealed in us. Now, there's a passage in Mark 5, and it talks about a woman who suffered. And it's a woman who had the issue of blood. Now, she had this issue of blood for 12 years. But the scripture said she suffered many things at the hands of the physician. And sometimes we suffer many things Because we lean on the arm of flesh and do not trust God. We turn to other things, maybe medicines, another way out. And we suffer many things. And this woman suffered many things at the hands of the physician. And many times we suffer sickness, which we have brought upon ourselves. We go out in the wind. We go out in the cold. We go out in the rain. And it's chilly. And you don't dress proper. And, of course, you know what happens. There comes a cold. Sometimes as a result of it, it's a flu. Sometimes people get a pneumonia from it because they will not dress properly. Just as soon as the sun shines a little bit, it begins to warm up a little bit. It can still be cold outside. They want to put their shorts on. They want to take their jackets off, be in short sleeve shirts, right? And as a result of it, they get sick and they suffer. Now, you get high fevers with colds. You get sore throats with colds. Your bones will begin to ache. And you just feel really miserable. And then when you start getting congested in the lungs, it's hard to breathe at night. It's hard to breathe, right? You're choking. You're trying to grasp for breath and you're trying to keep your nostrils clear so that you can breathe properly. And sometimes that does not work. You have to breathe through your mouth. And what suffering comes as a result of lack of wisdom? People do suffer many things because of their own doing. And sometimes they take and they won't wash their hands. And as a result of it, it can cause dysentery, upset stomachs, right? People have those, but many times they don't take care and for themselves to see that their food is taken care of in proper manner. Some people will take and change a baby and never wash their hands after, wiping the baby, taking care of the diaper. The diaper could be messy. Never wash their hands and go and prepare food for the rest of the people to eat. That is about as dirty can be. And it's about as unclean can be. And I know somebody that I was visiting their house and they were taking care of a grandchild. And the grandchild had a very juicy diaper on and it wasn't wringing wet with number one, but it was real juicy, and she picked that child up and put it on the counter where you prepare foods and stuff, and she changed that baby. Now, that's only one thing that could cause a lot of sicknesses in a home, okay? Another thing is, kids will handle the animals. They go out and they play in the dirt. They handle all kinds of dirty things. And never come to wash their hands before they eat. They sit down and they gobble in their food. No wonder there's so much sickness. And no wonder it just spreads. And it seems like we can never get it out of our home. It's because of the uncleanness. And you cause a lot of suffering. As a result of it, you have to suffer a stomach ache, headache. Usually if this flu comes along, this stomach flu, in most cases, you have a high fever, you have a headache, right? And then you'll have a very, very sick stomach and you throw up. Is that true? A lot of that can be avoided. Another way it could be avoided is the child. Every child drinks out of their own vessel. And you don't take all the milk or all the juice off the table and put it in one container and then share it around the next time you sit down at the table. You don't do that. If a child's got a sore throat, got sickness, don't you suppose those germs are in that milk, in that juice? It'd be better that the child, you'd leave it set and put names on the cups and the glasses, amen, or plastic containers, whatever they're drinking out, paper cups, styrofoam cups, put their names on it and let that sit and tell the other ones, leave it alone. Don't touch it. A lot of sickness and disease comes because of our own foolishness. You don't like this, do you? But it is true. Then you know somebody's got a cold, then you want to get up in their face and kiss all over them. Misery likes company. If you're so sick from this, why would you want everybody else to be sick? I don't like to get sick. And I don't like to eat after people, and drink after people. I don't like that. And I don't like to get kissing on the lips. So you don't kiss your husband on the lips? No, I don't. Kiss him on the cheek. Kiss him on the forehead. No. If he's sick, I don't want his sicknesses. If you like to do that type of stuff, but then you're going to have to suffer the consequences of it. You'll have to suffer sickness, right? If your husband is sick. All right. So she had suffered many things of many physicians. Can you imagine 12 years in this state, having this issue of blood, that alone would drain somebody and make somebody very, very weak. It could even make them sick to the stomach. That could make them have a headache. It could really wear on their nerves. But 12 years, and during that 12 years, she didn't know about Jesus. She hadn't heard about Jesus. But thank God tonight we have heard about Jesus. And thank God in the atonement he paid the price for our healing. Not only for our forgiveness of sin, but also for healing. There were stripes laid on his back for our healing. She spent all she had. Nothing better. Just grew worse. One thing about it, money will not buy your health. Money cannot cure your diseases. You get a disease like this. You get cancer. You get other diseases. And money cannot heal your body. There's only one that can heal you, and that is the Lord. And she grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, see, as soon as she heard, boy, she got right in there and she got right into the press. That means she got right into the crowd that was following Jesus. Brother and sister, we want to be in the crowd that's following Jesus, who believes in Jesus, who believes in the miracles of God. We want to be in that crowd. We want to be in the crowd where healings are taking place, where miracles are taking place, where signs and wonders are taking place, where deliverances are taking place. We want to be in that crowd. She came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she had said, if I may touch his clothes, I shall be whole. All the good things that she heard about Jesus performing all these miracles, it just caused her faith to arise. And she said, if I could but touch his clothes, I would be made whole. I'll tell you, she just got right in that press that was following Jesus while Jesus was performing miracles. Amen. And she got right in there and she touched his clothes. And as soon as she touched his clothes, virtue came out of him and she was made whole.
Amen.
Let's get in that crowd. Let's let our faith go. Let our faith touch God. Let our faith touch Him. So that we can be made whole of any sickness or disease, any affliction, amen, that hurts your body, any infirmity. I want you to know, Job suffered a lot. He suffered people looking down on him. He suffered with words that was not very nice, abusive words that was said to him. He suffered. Oh, he had a lot on him. Can you imagine that Job trying to sleep at night, and he was so miserable. Amen. Very, very miserable. In Job 7:4, turn back there to it. When I lie down, I say, when shall I arise? And the night be gone, and I'm full of tossings to and fro until the dawning of the day. Did you ever go to bed at night and just tossed and turned and tossed and turned? And no matter how much you wished and prayed and thought you'd go to sleep, you still tossed and you still turned? Oh, that's a horrible thing to go to bed at night, especially when you're tired, when you get into the bed only to find out that you're tossed and turned. Many times people are tossed and turned because of the dealings of God upon their life. Do you hear me? Many times people are tossed to and fro upon their bed because of the dealings of God. They have done something to hurt somebody. They have sinned, and as a result of it, they're tossed to and fro upon their bed at night and tossed till dawn time. But let's look at Job 30. If you just skip through the Bible with me, amen, and open your Bible so you can see just the sufferings of Jesus, Job, and see how much pain and discomfort that he was really in. Here it says in Job 30:17, it says, my bones are pierced in the night season, and my sinews take no rest. Imagine bones hurting and aching. How could you have such a thing in your body without feeling it right in your bones? His bones pained, and it robbed him of his sleep. Did you ever have a situation where you were sick and your bones just hurt so bad that it robbed you of your sleep. I'm sure some of you probably experienced a little of something like this for a night or two, but you know, the way I look at it here in the Word, and it talks to us in Job 7 there where it says, months of suffering. I mean, how long can a man really suffer? Night after night, tossing to and fro. Paining, constant pain. He says his legs were pierced. You know, bones were pierced. Means they were aching. They were hurting. They were paining. I know what it is to go to bed at night and have my legs ache so bad and try to get comfortable. No matter which way you turn, your legs don't get comforted. And it takes maybe long periods of time, hours maybe, before your legs really settle down to really relax so that you can go to sleep. But just imagine months tossing and turning at night with pain in the legs or bones. Those old boils in his body was infected. And you get infection in your body and it can make your whole body hurt. Let's go back to Job 7 and verse 13. When I say my bed shall comfort me, my couch shall ease my complaint, then thou scarest me with dreams and terrifiest me through visions. He thinks that he's going to go to bed, he's going to be comforted, he's going to, you know, lie down on his couch, and oh, he's just going to have a comfortable rest. And guess what happens? Dreams come that really scare him. You know, we all have had some scary dreams, haven't we? But dreams that really scared him. Be in this condition and having these dreams that caused him to be very scared. And visions that actually terrified him. Ooh, would you like to be in that state? He was in that state because God permitted Satan to touch him, his body. He was in that state. God permitted it. Job did not sin. God permitted it. It says, so that my soul chooseth strangling and death, or rather than my life. He much rather die. I believe, probably no doubt, many people in gets into a real place like this of suffering, where there is no hope for them. Their money can't buy their health. The doctors cannot do anything for them. They say it's no hope, and you have to suffer the rest of your life. How many people have committed suicide because of this? They could not take it. But to a child of God, God's grace is sufficient for us. And God will see us through. God will strengthen us right in the midst of the battle. He'll enable us. He'll strengthen us to be able to go through. And don't you ever Let the devil talk you into suicide, because you will not see the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter how much pain you're suffering. It doesn't matter what you got to go through in this life. Even though you might be weary of this life, don't you ever let the devil convince you that you are better off if you commit suicide. Just remember one thing. You will not go up to heaven. You will end up in the devil's hell. And you think your sufferings is great now, to be in hell where there's eternal flame, where there's torment. You might better just wait upon God, and in God's due time, He'll bring you through. Let's look at Job 30 and verse 27. My bowels boiled and rested, not the days of affliction prevented me. Meaning, his heart was troubled. His heart was so troubled that he could not rest. Bad enough to have his bones pierced with pain and couldn't find rest, tossing to and fro. Bad enough to have all these boils on you. And then, on top of all, your heart is troubled. No rest, constantly troubled. Thank God Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in me, believe also in God, right? Don't let your heart be troubled. You got a troubled heart, you got a heart condition. I don't mean physical. I mean spiritual. Heart trouble. There should be peace in the midst of suffering. In the midst of storm. There should be peace. It's so easy to let go of the good things that God has given us. When Jesus went away, He said He gave His peace unto us. He left it. We have peace. Peace of mind. Peace of heart and soul. Maybe tonight we can glean something from this to really help us. Imagine being so troubled in your heart. You didn't get no rest from it at all. You say, oh boy, it could drive you crazy. Right? Some people would crack up under it. Their nerves wouldn't hold up under it. You've never been sick like Job. You've never gone through like what Job has gone through. Right? And he's gone through something, brother and sister. Let's just look back at chapter 7 again. Verse 5. My flesh is clothed with worms and clots of dust. Can you imagine that? In them sores, the worms and clots of dust. Do you imagine the pain I imagine the stink from that was horrendous. Would you believe that? And skin is broken and become loathsome. His skin is broken open. Remember, he sat down in the ashes and he began to scrape with a potsherd, piece of pottery. And he'd scrape those things. The skin was broken. Imagine the worms crawling all over him. Imagine the clods of dust. This is what it said. I'm only reading you from the scripture. Right? I'm not adding anything to it. This is what he said. It was so bad that it was really disgusting. He was in a deplorable condition. Would you want to be in a condition like that? None of us really would appreciate it. But the scripture said the thing that Job feared has come upon him. Be careful what you fear. Amen? Job 17:1. There's so much in this book. I really love this Bible character. My breath is corrupt. My days are extinct. Their graves are ready for me. Huh. He thought he was at death's door. Right? He said the graves are ready for him. He was so sick. He thought he would not make it. He thought that he'd have to go to the grave. Oh, just the thought of dying to some people, it scared them to death. Just to think that you're going to have to go in a box that's going to be locked and put down in a big hole in the ground and the earth is covered over. Don't worry about it. You won't know anything about it. Once you're dead, you're dead. You won't know whether you're in that hole in the ground or not. If you're right with God, the Bible says that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Okay, Job 30:30. My skin is black upon me, and my bones are burned with heat. Ooh, that don't sound good, does it? The sun and all this infection in him. Black. And also talks about his bones are burned with heat. You know, when you go out on a cold day and it's a kind of a rainy and it's a real chilly day, and you say, I can feel it in my what? Do you really feel it in your bones? Do you? Brother Bruce, do you really feel? We say we feel it in our bones. And brother and sister, I believe we do feel it in our bones. And especially if a person has arthritis, they feel it in their bones. Is it true? It's very true. Job 30:18. Let me see if we can get back here to see if I can find my place. By great force of my disease, is my garment changed. It bindeth me about as the collar of my coat. His garment is changed. What way did it change? Loaded with pus and discharge from the boils. Got stiff. You don't believe that, do you? If you had as many boils that he had them all broken open, like he said, his skin was open, the worms were crawling on him. Don't you think the garment would be changed? It certainly wouldn't be a clean garment. All that pus and discharge, right, can make a garment stiff. You take and blow your nose on the sleeve of your shirt, and a lot of people do, snot all over it, and it gets kind of crusty, does it not? And I'm telling you something that's you never heard of? It gets crusty with what you call snot. Job 23. I don't do this to be funny. Job 23. Oh, here's another place he was in. Oh, you talk about the sufferings of Job. I'd never want to be in a place and go through what our brother Job went through. In chapter 23 and verse 8. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. God hidden from Job. God hidden from Job. Would you like to be in a place where God is hidden from you? No. Just think of all that I've read to you from the scriptures, the condition of Job's life because of these boils. And then he comes to the place and he brings it out that God is hid from him. Oh, whether God is hid from him or not, God was with him all the way. And whether you feel God is hid from you, God is with you. He said, lo, I am with you even unto the end of the world. And I'll never leave thee nor forsake you. Oh, just hang on to those promises, knowing whether or not, amen, or knowing that if you should face something like this and you feel God is hidden from you, that you'll be able to know that God is still with you. Always remember, we don't walk by feelings. We walk by faith. We walk by faith. We have faith in the promises of God, that God is walking with us. Right? But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Faith in God. Even though God seemed to be hid from him, yet he knew that God knew the way that he took. And he realized when God tried him that he would come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps, His ways have I kept and not declined. Notice, he didn't go back. He kept his feet from slipping. He held right on, knowing that he knew God. He knew God. If you know God, you know God's promises, you won't let your feet slip. You'll hang right on to those promises of God. You'll rebuke the adversary. You'll say, Satan, get under my feet. You're not going to cause my feet to slip. I am not going to go back into this world to serve Satan and lose my soul. By your grace and help, Lord, you're going to bring me through. And I'm going to walk so my feet are not going to slip. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. Notice, we want to keep the commandments of God. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And brother and sister, stand and keep the commandments of God. Don't you go back from those commandments. Don't you go away from the Word of God. Understand that. Don't you draw away from the Word of God. You draw near to the Word of God. In times like these, that is the time to get into God's Word and draw strength from the Word of God. To hope in God's Word. To draw comfort from God's Word. You might not receive comfort from people around about you. But I want you to know you can receive comfort from the Word of God. There is a scripture, and I don't know whether it's Psalms 40 and along in that particular chapter, or whether it's in Psalms 119, but it talks about David, I believe it is, and he drew comfort and hope from God's Word. It might have been Psalms 40, I'm not sure. But anyway, we can see that even in this condition, he said that he knew that God knew the way that he took, right? And when he has tried me, he will bring me forth as gold. Job chapter 13. Look what Job says in verse 15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But I will maintain my ways before him. He was determined. If it meant that God would take his life, he would still maintain his ways before the Lord. He also would trust him. Even if he took his life. He was trusting God before. He wasn't worrying about God taking his life. He was trusting God. He was trusting God. He said, but I will maintain my own ways before him. Well, Job was a godly man. God says he was a man who feared God and avoided evil. He told Satan, he said, he's no man in the earth as great as Job. That's what the scripture said. We went over that the other night here. We've been in Job. That's a good testimony. He knew his God. And God knew Job. And he knew when he gave Satan permission to touch Job's substance and also touch his body, that he knew that Job would maintain his ways before him. He knew that. Notice here in verse 16. He also shall be my salvation. For a hypocrite shall not come before him. Notice he talked about his salvation. What a faith. What a man. All through the sickness and horrible things that he's had to go through. And yet, he says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Could you be like Job and say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him? Who are you going to trust? Trust God. That's who he's talking about. Instead of saying, though God slay me, he's saying, though he slay me. Meaning God. If God was to slay him, wouldn't matter. He was still going to trust him. We know that Job really loved the Lord. And he had a faith that God was his salvation. Isn't that wonderful? I'd like to leave a verse here at closing in 1 Peter 1:7. That the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. We can go through. God will see us through. God will be with us, even when we think he's hidden from us. Even when you think the heavens are brast and you think your prayers are not getting through, God hears the faintest cry of the righteous. Always remember that. God hears the faintest cry of the righteous. Not the unrighteous, not the wicked, but the righteous. And this trial that we're going through, it's much more precious than gold that perish. Can you imagine that? That your faith can be much more precious than gold that perish. Oh, people say, give me the gold, give me the gold. They can have all the gold in the world, but that gold is going to perish. I'll tell you that the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perish, though it be tried with fire. What will it do? That it might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Can you say, though he slay me, yet I will trust him, and I will maintain my ways before him, my own ways before him. Right? Can you say that? Do you think you could go through something like this? Don't say, oh yes, I can go through, I can go through. You can't go through without him. You can't do anything without him. Always remember, anything that you do, you gotta do it through Christ, or you cannot do it. You got to do it through Christ. And he'll strengthen us. And we can do it. But only through Christ. Not in our own power or might. It's not by might. It's not by power. But it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. I'm going to close. I'm going to stand. Pray. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you, Lord, for this message of God that thou hast given unto us tonight, Lord. Oh, how I admire, God, Brother Job. And it was a terrible thing that really happened to him, the sickness and disease. But my God, we know, God, that he had such a great faith and confidence in you, Lord. And of course, he was puzzled and he couldn't understand, Lord, but Yet through it all, God, you were so faithful, Lord. My God, you brought them through that thing. You brought them out of that captivity, Lord. And my God, you really blessed his life, Lord. And Father, this night, Lord, might we rise up and God really draw something from these scriptures, Lord, from this book here, God, to show us, Lord, if Brother Job, who was just a human being, could go through something like this, that with you we can go through anything that might come our way. Oh, God, we pray, God, tonight, Lord, those that are under the heavy trial, Lord, under heavy sufferings, Lord. Oh, God, under, God, the pressures of the adversary working against their mind and trying to inject, evil thoughts in their mind and trying to get them to commit suicide or trying to get them just to throw up their hands and surrender, oh, God, Lord, unto him, Satan. Oh, God, I pray, Lord, that you'll give them the strength and the help that they need tonight, God. Lord, we know that your grace is sufficient. And my God, we know we can't do nothing without you, God. And we have to depend upon you. And Father, tonight, God, just bless, Lord. And, oh, God, let our faith arise tonight, God. And let us be able to reach out to you, Lord. Oh, God, let us cry out and reach out to you, God. That we might have a touch from on high, God. Even as that woman had the issue of blood, when she heard about you, Jesus, she pressed herself into the crowd. My God, she wasn't going to be denied. She was going to go right in there. And she did. She pressed herself, Lord. And she said within her heart, she said, if I could but touch your clothes, Lord, oh God, that you would make her whole. And Lord, virtue came out of you, and she was made whole of that affliction, that sickness, Lord, that disease, Lord. Oh, you heal all manner of sickness and disease, Lord. And oh God, tonight, look down upon your people who are suffering. Look down upon your people, oh God, that have incurable diseases, Lord, that just need your help. When the doctor says there's no more we can do for you, oh my God, look down and make yourself, God, really mighty. And, oh, God, show forth your glory, oh, God, in the life of those people. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jesus.